Beginning of tape three, interview with Jack Spicer. You're talking about the transports out of Hafingen. What was the date that you'd left Hafingen?
Oh, I don't
know. Or the month?
I would say it was about March, you know.
Yeah.
Because there was still snowing there, you know, in Germany.
Right.
And we travelled and travelled and travelled and travelled. This is unbelievable. They don't travel animals like this. You give them a break, you take them out or something. You know, when they bring sheep to the Middle East now, they stopped it. Sheep. And we were worse than sheep. So, look. It was a terrible time. Terrible, it was cold, there was no food, there was no blankets, there was no toilets, there was no nothing. People used to die every day. We were 60 people in one wagon, you know, sitting like animals.
And how did you come to get off the transport?
Well, we were traveling and traveling and traveling. One morning, we had shooting again, you know, very close shooting, a lot of machine guns and this. And we still didn't know what's happening. Nobody knew nothing, really. The people were weak. People didn't think even. And then they opened the wagons and they said, you can wash yourself here. There was a little river running that was not far from Landsberg, big city, you know. I don't know how many kilometers, but there was this little river running with running water, so people ran and washed themselves and drank, you know, they did everything. The next thing I have a look, I see Americans, you know, coming with tanks, and then there was Negroes. I have never seen a Negro before. 6'6", you know, with machine guns running in the front of the tanks, and this was unbelievable.
What was going through your mind then?
But mine, look, they came and after a few minutes they came and they, big truck arrived and gave us food and doctors and medical staff. And they took us to Landsberg. After the same day, they took us to Landsberg.
What did they take you in?
In trucks. Big military trucks. And over there they had, we were put in a German camp where the Germans, an army camp, right? And they gave us medical, you know, assistance and everything.
When they were, just go back one bit, when they were putting you in the trucks, had the Germans, the Nazis, did they run away or were they captured?
I think they ran away. People were saying they ran away maybe 2 hours before. We never saw them. Oh. Never saw, not even one. You know, and there was about 30 wagons or more. But people, you can imagine. When we came to Landsberg, they had a very big bridge in the city there that crosses a river or something. And that bridge was bombed. And we couldn't cross. We had to walk on little things that, you know, like they had those fun, what do you call it, those rubber things, you know, we walked, the truck couldn't pass. And the other side, I had other trucks, and they took us to this camp. There was nobody in Landsberg, there was not a human being. And then, of course, we saw other people started to come, Jewish people, American people, English people, Jewish, you know, and start asking questions and this and that. And they helped whatever they could, you know, they put us together and I was close. It was very nice of them, you know. Then came the Jewish brigade and they picked up all the youngsters and they took us to Italy.
So you'd after been in this camp. How long were you in the camp?
Not long.
Not long, yeah.
Not long. Maybe 2 months or something. And we went to Italy. They took us to Italy.
How?
By buses. Not really buses, military big trucks. And we came there, we went to apply Santa Maria. We stayed there for quite a while, a few months. It was beautiful, it was warm, you know, near the sea.
And what kind of place was it there?
A couple of big homes, I don't know. Big homes. I wanted to go and see it now when I go to Santa, when I go to Santa Maria. It was a little Italian village, you know.
And you stayed in people's homes?
No. It was these two big homes. And we had all the people relieved, like from the Jewish brigade. They looked after us, they bought us clothes and doctors and all this, you know. And there were some people we used to attend a bit of education, you know, they talked to us, They took us to sea, to row a bit with the boats, and you know we did have a good time there, you know. And from there I used to travel to a place in Italy, Biella, with my ear, because it was still a bit discharging and I couldn't do nothing, so I had to go there. And I went there and I stayed there 1 week in that hospital. There was this Italian, a very big professor, he did whatever he could, you know, and he stopped it for a while. And he gave him medication and it helped. And then I came back to Santa Maria. From there we went to a place, Bergamo, also in Italy. They wanted us to learn a bit of military things.
Had they still kept you all together?
They got some more other kids around. And
Did they try to find out your families?
No. They only tried to get us fit in the, you know. And they took us to this place, Bergamo, that's in the hills in northern Italy. And we were there for quite a while also, and they tried to teach us to walk and to use a bit of ammunition and this and this. And then we went to Motoponto and we went to Israel, illegal, by ship, Shapta Lozinski. And when we came to Israel...
Who took you to Israel?
Israel, the Haganah, the Palmach.
Did you need papers?
No, we didn't have any papers. Nobody had papers.
But I thought maybe false ones.
No, nothing. We went there in the night to apply as Motoponto And we went on it, all of us, and we came to Israel. And when we came to Israel, the British caught us on the radar or something, I don't know. But for that reason or that, we landed near Ashdod, a bit lower, between Gaza and Ashdod. And we dropped the anchor. He went in on the sand, the ship, and we had to jump the ship. And we jumped the ship. And I had ropes from the ship to the shores. If some couldn't swim, they were holding on to it. And when the British arrived, there was nobody there. We all got transport. We landed in the morning, very early, I remember, and by 8 o'clock, we were working already in a chicken place, you know, dressed like them, in sort of, they knew maybe they'll come and look for us. So we were already raking up and doing different things, you know, and they never caught us. Then they cut Israel in half. That was the big, like you're not allowed to move from place to place. And we stayed there for quite a while, you know, also in that kibbutz, Dorot.
That was the name of the
kibbutz. In the Negev, yeah. Yeah, it was all right. We got, went to school, we got a bit of education, we worked half a day, and half a day we went to school.
Did you ever get close to anybody?
Yeah, we had a few boys. We're still in touch, even now. Yeah. Yeah, I have two. I'm very close, you know. Not very close, but I always see them when I go to Israel. When my boy went there, I rang him up and I said, look after them. And they came and I still, when they go on holidays, I go and visit him. You know.
And had you met this friend in Israel, or had he been with you before that?
No, he'd been before. We came from Italy. Yeah.
What was his name?
Naftali. And I have one fella, Mishka. He also very good. He is. He was with me in the sea. You know. I met him in Israel on the ships. Very good friend till today. Yeah, I ring him, he rings here.
Okay, so you're in Israel, you're working on the kibbutz, go to school, go to work half a day. Tell me more about life there on the kibbutz.
Yeah, it was very good. Then was the Independence Day in Israel, you know. And we went to kibbutz, a different kibbutz already. We went Mishmar HaSharon, that's near Netanya. Kibbutz was not a rich kibbutz. There was about 50, 60 of us. We stayed in tents. But it was all right. There's nothing wrong with it. We also got a bit of education. You know, they brought in people and they taught us like a half a day's work. We start there very early, like 6 o'clock. By 12 we were finished. By 2 we could go to that school and learn a bit different things, you know.
And what about religion?
This was not a religious kibbutz. It was a kibbutz, but not religious. Was not anti-religious, but was not religious. Was time to go. Then was the Independence Day, and then was time to go to the army. You see, we used to do a little bit of army on the kibbutz. Like there was an Arab village across the road, like 200-300 meters. you have to go out and do a bit of watching, you know, and this and that. But then was a time to go to the army. We went. Everybody had to go.
Did you want to go? Did you want to go?
Yeah, we went. I went to Tel Aviv to enroll, and you know, and the next thing we already in Jerusalem. You know, and the hills there before Jerusalem, doing a bit of fighting here and there. And then was the first ceasefire. And I asked if anybody knows about sea and this and this. And when we were in Santa Maria, we did a bit of sea work, you know, with this Haganah, Palmach, whatever, you know, these Israelis. They were there with us. So we went and they looked at us and we went there, Yitzhak, Naftali, Mishka, myself. Yeah, about four we went there and we got accepted and we went to work on a ship straight away, Kufa Srim. And then we went to a bigger ship, Kuf 28, you know, a bigger corvette, very nice. We used to travel around, you know.
What was your job on the ship? What did you do?
On the deck, yeah. We used to use the guns and all this. My friend Mishka was in the engine. Naftali was also on the deck. Yitzhak was on the deck. Yeah, it was all right.
How long did you do that?
Till we finished the army.
And what year was that?
Early 50s. That was finished. So we came out of the army. We didn't have a job. We couldn't get a job. We didn't have where to live. We didn't have anybody. He didn't feel like going back to the kibbutz because you're restricted in kibbutz. You want to do something, you want to eat something, but you would like and you couldn't. You have to eat what's there. And we used to love to go to Netanya watch a soccer game. We didn't have any money to go in. You know, the kibbutz didn't give money. They gave us once a month something, very little. So we used to take a horse and buggy in the kibbutz Saturday afternoon and drive to Netanya. It was not far, 10 kilometers, 12 kilometers. And we used to stand on the buggy and watch. That's the truth. So we eventually found a room and we were there, four of us in that room, one room. And there was a shower downstairs, there was another family there. It was not easy. And then I got in touch with my brothers here.
Where were
your
brothers?
In Australia.
How did you know they were in Australia?
I can't remember. I think through the Red Cross, through the Jewish organizations or something, you know. And I used to send a few parcels from here, you know, with different things. And we didn't have where to live, we four in a room. So two straight away, one fellow, Naftali, when he was in the Navy with me, he met an American fellow. And this American fellow came to settle in Israel. And he opened the first automatic laundry in Israel. So he gave Naftali a job, right? Myself, in Mishka, in Yitzhak, we didn't have a job. So we went to apply to the Merchant Navy. So Yitzhak got a job, not myself, Mishka. And then we got a job with Zim, And we worked there till I left Israel.
You worked in the Merchant Navy?
Yeah.
What were you doing there?
On the deck, a quarter, you know, I was a quartermaster.
Did you ever go up in rank?
No. There was not many ships and there was very few jobs. Mishka got up, but he stayed on until maybe 15 years ago he wasn't there. You know, so he's chief engineer, you know, on a big ship. We went in 1950, we went with Ben Gurion, with a military ship to New York. And we paraded in New York. It was very funny, you know. We stood in 42nd Street, and you know how many Jews came to visit the ship? 1 million. We had to hang up in the morning all the flags and take them down in the night, a few hundred flags. It was a hard job. And people used to line up for miles to see the ship. There was nothing to see. It was a little, you know, corvette, nothing much, you know.
Had Ben Gurion come with you on the ship?
No. When we were there while he was there, I don't know for what purpose, so they paraded us for a little while there in New York.
Did you ever get to talk to him or see him?
No. I saw Moshe Sharet. On our ship, we went to Rhodes when they were doing some peace deals, I don't know. So we had Charette on our ship, and we used to wash the decks 4 o'clock in the morning. And then a ship used to arrive, bring some fella, or two or three, and they used to go up to Charette and talk. We don't know what he talked of, who they were, you know. But this was in the early, well, late 49, early 50s, you know. But Mr. Charette, I spoke to him.
Did you?
Yeah. During the day after, we used to pint a little bit do a little bit of cleaning there on the decks. He used to come around and talk to us. Oh, yeah.
What did he say?
He didn't say much. If you like the jobs and this, and very proud to see a Jewish boy doing Silas, you know, and he never dreamed of this. Yeah. And then I worked on the SS Jerusalem. It was a huge ship, an Argentinian ship, very big, 42,000 ton and passenger liner, you know. So we used to take, every trip we used to go to America mainly. And one day we came home and we had to take a lot of people from, I don't know, from the Istadrut, from Zim, families for a cruise for 24 hours in the Mediterranean. So we did, and I met a lot of people. Moshe Dayan was there in that crowd, and other ministers, you know. We took them for the 24 hours cruise. It was very nice, you know.
So you enjoyed that job?
Yeah, I did, because I was traveling and meeting a lot of people. You know, passenger ships, you meet a lot of people. People know that you're there and they ring you and they tell you not so much ring you, come and tell you, listen, my friend is coming to America, look after him on the voyage in this, you know. You go and have a look at him, they're very seasick, and what do you do? You try to help them a bit. But it's not a sickness, it's just an imagination that you are seasick. We came to America, it was an eye-opener. You know, we used to get always the best spots in the 42nd, 43rd Street. You know, that's near the tall buildings, you know, IT stories. We never seen this before, you know. It's money we didn't have. When we came to America, we got very little pied. So we used to say we stayed there 2 weeks. We might work there a week for somebody, painting, you know. We did. We had a bit of money, we bought a few things, you know. On the way back, we stopped in Marseille or Napoli on the way home. You buy a few things, you know. Israel never saw apples at the time. There was no apples in those days in Israel. So on the way back, I used to buy 2 cases of apples in Napoli, you know, the last stop. And take, I had a cousin, I took a few. And Naftali got married in the meantime. And he had a mother-in-law, he used to take a few there, and to him a few, you know. He used to wash our clothes for nothing, because he had this laundry he worked.
And so back in Israel, what did you do then? From America you went, did you go back to Israel?
Yeah. Always used to come back. Always to come back to Israel. Israel, we had a lot of friends already, you know. Some got married, you know, some boys. It was very nice. We had our own homes, and not homes, but we still had this room, you know, but we didn't use it much. Only when we came for a week home, we stayed a couple of nights or something. You have to stay on the ship, stand by sometimes, you know. When I came to Israel in 1968, the first thing Mishka took me to show me the room. But then my wife came in, he wanted to show her. So they pulled it down already, the area. It's flattened.
We'll leave it here for the end of tape 3.